Hello and welcome to the Friday, February 27th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got a new version of Firefox, Firefox 36. Now, I don't always mention new versions of browsers anymore, just too many of them. This one is somewhat significant, not just for the bugs it fixes, security problems it addresses, but also for finally outlawing 1024-bit certificates. The other thing it adds is support for HTTP2, and I do want to spend a little bit extra time today talking a little bit about HTTP2. We do have a final standard now that's waiting to be published as an official RFC, so with that you'll probably see soon other browsers officially implementing HTTP2. First of all, you may already have browsers that support Speedy, and Speedy is the closest thing we had to HTTP2. HTTP2 is in many ways derived from Speedy, which originally was conceived by Google. Now, the one misconception here somewhat is that HTTP2 is something completely new and going to replace HTTP1 or HTTP 1.1. That's not really true. HTTP2 really addresses one particular use case, and that's web browsers. You're probably not going to see HTTP2, for example, in a lot of web services or other applications where we do see HTTP1 right now, just because the problems really that are being addressed by HTTP2 are very browser specific. One security issue that is being mentioned a lot with HTTP2 is encryption. And the way it finally ended up in the standard is that SSL is not necessarily required, but many browser makers will not implement HTTP2 in clear text. But there is certainly a possibility that you will still see some clear text with HTTP2. However, it may not be all that useful to you anymore because HTTP2 is a compressed and binary protocol. The other thing that sort of is maintained from HTTP 1 or 1.1 is that you still essentially do have those headers and such that you had in HTTP 1.1. So there's still a refer, there's still a host header and things like that, but they're no longer visible as they were before in HTTP 1.1. Instead, you'll see them compressed and expressed in binary. The other thing that sort of changes is that you only have one TCP connection, which, well, you sort of had in HTTP 1.1, you usually had one or two TCP connections, but within that HTTP connection, within that TCP connection, you can have multiple streams. So the way it works is in HTTP 1.1, I send you a request or could send you multiple requests if I have pipelining enabled, and then I get the files back. There is no prioritization or so in HTTP 1.1. In HTTP 2, you can prioritize these different streams. Each stream is broken up into frames, and you can think of one stream as sort of a TCP connection that's carried inside this, well, TCP connection. So that's a really kind of what HTTP 2 does. With that, you also have a bidirectional capability here. The server can push as well as the client. Now, how does your browser know whether or not it is able to talk HTTP 2 to a particular server? The way this works is that your browser starts out with HTTP 1.1, but it will add an upgrade header. This upgrade header will just say upgrade colon and then H2 for HTTP 2 or H2C for HTTP 2 clear text if your browser supports that. And then the server has the option to now switch back to HTTP 2 by then sending back HTTP 2 parameters. So essentially the browser will start out with HTTP 1.1 and then give the server the option to upgrade. At this point, there are no main street servers that come with HTTP 2 pre-installed. However, for Nginx and for Apache, you do have modules available that at least implement parts of the standard. So much just as a quick overview, and I'm thinking about doing a little longer webcast or so about this topic, because there is, I think, quite a bit of interest. If you are interested, let me know, and maybe over the next couple of weeks or so, we can put something together. But well, let's switch back to our normal diet of vulnerabilities, and with that, a study GFI did of recent vulnerabilities, actually vulnerabilities in 2014, and how they were distributed across different operating systems. Surprisingly, Mac OS X came up at the top here with the most vulnerabilities, 147 vulnerabilities patched in 2014, 64 of which were high or critical vulnerabilities. And number two, iOS with 127 or 32 critical. Windows 8, for example, only had 36 vulnerabilities and 24 critical. On the other hand, it looks quite differently once we look at applications. Internet Explorer comes up with 242 vulnerabilities, so that's, well, not quite twice the number of vulnerabilities that we had in OS X. I don't see here whether or not OS X did include Safari, but Safari is not separately listed here as far as applications go. So if that's the case, then of course Windows plus Internet Explorer is again outranking OS X. Google Chrome, the number two most vulnerable application, only has about half of the vulnerabilities of Internet Explorer with 120 total and 86 critical vulnerabilities. So what does this really tell us? Well, not much other than all operating systems need to be patched, and in particular Linux OS X users need to be careful that they are vulnerable, but just not being taken advantage of as much as Windows users. For the most part of the last few years, what I have seen in sort of day-to-day exploits is that many, many exploits don't actually exploit a vulnerability, but instead rely on the user to install the malicious code. And the Jetty web server has a vulnerability that reminds me a little bit of Heartbleed. What it does is, if a request is being sent to a Jetty web server that includes invalid characters, and the proof of concept exploit just uses a referrer header with 44 null characters, then up to 16 bytes of data from prior requests is being leaked back to the attacker. Now, it's only 16 bytes, so not as much as in Heartbleed. The attacker doesn't have any control over what 16 bytes, but these will be 16 bytes from prior requests, so they are likely going to include things like cross-site request forging tokens, cookies, or session cookies, so something that you certainly do want to protect and you would like to patch against, in particular since the exploit here is pretty trivial and public. And well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday.